Good morning, and thank you everyone for joining. Great to see everyone. Topic at hand is similar to our record here, just finished, but from a different perspective. We've been talking about the question of helping or assisting people who are non-observant or we suspect are not particular about committing certain types of sins or averos. I mean, when you can do that, when you can't do that, with ne'iver and the like. Today I want to talk about an additional factor, which is that of darchei shalom. Meaning on the one hand, we can't help people do isurim. On the other hand, when you tell people, I can't help you because I don't want you to sin, that might be a bit offensive. And the question is, when does that offense, or when, because of the fact that we want to keep the peace, are we allowed to indeed participate in aiding or abetting others and potentially committing Isurim? That is the topic at hand. One topic I think I want to get to next, which relates to this, as an example, is the question of giving someone a piece of food which they may not make a bracha on or may not wash for, right? So on the one hand, that potentially is a problem of misayer l'neiver. On the other hand, if you say, no, I can't feed you because you don't make blessings, doesn't always go over so well. So what can you do in that situation? But before we get to that, I want to talk about our parak on the Lachos HaShviyos, and we're going to return to a Mishnah that Rabbi Tarchino already learned pretty extensively, but we're going to look at it from a different perspective, and that is what you hopefully see in source number one. It's a Mishnah in Shviyos, the Mishnah in Gittin. We've seen it a few times already. Let's review it just one more time. Says the Mishnah, Mash Elesh Isha Lechaverta HaChashuda LaShviyos Nafa Ukvar Rechayim Betanur. Okay. A woman is allowed to lend her friend who we suspect of not observing Shviyas, whether it's she's not going to get rid of her food before Bior or the like, what she can lend her, a nafa, kfar, mechaim, betanor, different types of clay, borer, a sieve, a mixing bowl, a millstone, or her oven. And probably, it was cool back then, you can lend people your ovens, right? We probably don't have that nowadays. Anyway, aval, even though you can lend someone those utensils, lo tavor, you cannot actually participate in the process of preparing the food, such as selecting or grinding with her. Secondly, a woman who is the wife of an observant husband can lend to the wife of a amaret, an ignoramus, she can lend the clay borer. And not only that, but she can even participate in the process of preparing the food. Ava, Misha Taltela Tamayim, Lo Tiga Ima. However, once the woman adds in the water to the mixture, then you can no longer touch the mixture. Okay. So here we have two different halachos. The first one is in regard to someone who's chashudah l'shvi'is. And there, you can't even lend the caleb at all. Whereas, when we talk about an amaretz, as Rabbi Tarchino is referred to, then you can lend the caleb. The first case, you can lend the caleb, but you can't participate in the baking process. In the second case, you can even participate in the baking process. Before we go on, what is the problem? What would the problem be, let's say in the first case, with participating in baking with this woman? What are you doing wrong? Just look a little bit ahead if you want to. A little chazara here. We've been covering this. Give it a guess. What's the problem with kneading with the chashud al shviyas?
Encouraging her to violate.
Encouraging her to violate, exactly. We'll assume that it's after Bior, or she was shamor it, shomerit it, whatever. The point is that this is usher food, and she is preparing the food, and you are encouraging her to violate. What is another term for the avera of encouraging someone to violate an iser? Sorry to be particular here.
Lifnei iver.
Ah, so that's the question. Is lifnei iver at stake in this Mishnah? So the truth is, this is a suffix that the Rosh Shlomo Zalman had in Mishnah Shlomo, Mecha Shlomo, because as we've learned, this will be important for the parameters of Darkei Shalom. As we've learned, there's a difference between lifnei iver proper and what we often call misayeya, which just seems to be what the Mishnah refers to. It says next few words, if you didn't want do chazara, you could have just read the next line. Lefisha em machazikin yidei over avera. We don't encourage those who violate averos. So litna iver is a bona fide dioraisa. You cannot encourage or enable someone else to do an avera, and that is a dioraisa. Is that what the Mishnah allows in this case? Would you potentially violate litna iver by lending this utensil to this woman if she then violates an isser with that utensil? That would be quite novel, wouldn't it? That you can violate litna iver midi oraisa, because what the Mishnah is going to say is darchei shalom. However, most do not learn the Mishnah in this way because they assume that this is not midi oraisa. This is not litna iver midi oraisa. Three reasons why that may be so. Number one, we have the trei iver denahara, what we've learned about in previous shiurim. You could suggest that this Mishnah is talking about a case where they could obtain the same utensil elsewhere, and therefore it's not litnei iver. Possibility one. Possibility two, which we'll get to hopefully soon, is safek. Safek, you are really, really not sure that she's actually going to use it for avera, and maybe in that case it's not litnei iver. And three, another concern that Rav Shlomo Zalman raises is that this is far away from the process, right? You're not actually helping her do any avera. You're lending her a utensil, which she will then use to cook something, which is usher to her. Maybe that's a bit far removed from the process. Either way, as Rashi sort of intimates in source number two, what is the problem here? The problem is, E machazikin de ovi avera, says Rashi, let's say, Lo savor lo sechayima, v'asher l'sayam nisha asher l'sayaya bi'adayim day over avera b'shas ha'avera. You cannot, and pay attention to the wording here, assist actively people who are committing averos at the time that they do the avera. That's why you cannot knead or select or grind with the isha who's chashuda aha shviyeh. Okay, question. What avera does she commit when she does the kneading? Right? So you're lending out this utensil to a woman who is observing or not observing halacha shvius, and you want to lend her your mixing bowl or something like that. When she mixes the dough, which you can't do with her, what are you doing wrong at that point? What isser of shvius is that?
So are we taking the view that shamor cannot be used afterwards?
Can't be used afterwards. That's an interesting idea. I would say, at a simple level, and maybe this is why silence is warranted, none. There is no iser of needing shvius produce at all. In fact, this is what the Ritva says in source number three. How are you being misayed on the day of Avera? Avalo savor lo sochnima. Pirish, mishon behavile misayed on the Avera. Because by needing or selecting with this woman, you will be helping her do an avera. The law de ikka avera betchina obasia elo mishum de ihi av de isura bachila vechevan de av de isura bachila aser lasaya klal. Even though by kneading the dough that is not an avera whatsoever, since she is preparing something that she will then eat, which will be aser to her, you cannot participate in that process at all. The kneading, cooking, baking process is considered a siyua for an ov de avera. This can have a lot of ramifications for any situation in which you are potentially assisting someone eating something usser. Even though the preparation itself is not an isser, since the achila is an isser, the Ritva says that you cannot participate in that process. That is considered the machzek yidei over a avera. As opposed to
Bergman, so that would apply like if your next door neighbor doesn't keep kosher, you should never go over there and like cook or bake with her then.
Yeah, that would seem to be, at least the first sentence you were mentioning, that's a pretty clear equation, right? You can't help someone eat something that is usher to them. As opposed to, just for the record, we'll go to the second part of the mission.
If she was just using this usherdik stuff to give a lesson on somebody on how to knead dough, but they're not going to be eating it at all. That would be okay. She can use that for that person.
Yeah, Tlia. So Zeth has a Tlia. Maybe she doesn't actually want to eat the dough. Maybe she's just giving a kneading lesson. I'll refer you to Murray Shirin, and also we'll get to it later. The question is how good their Tlia needs to be. But we haven't mentioned
Won't Shemitah. Isser, according to the Ritva, there's no Isser at all. The only Isser is because you're being Messiah to somebody.
Right, you're assuming that she's actually not going to
happen here.
Right, for sure. But that assumes she's not going to eat it. And I'm saying that, how can you assume that? If she tells you, should we trust her? Those are all interesting.
She says questions. We're going to destroy it. I don't know. We're working with this. I'm teaching a lesson. Really? Then we're
maybe. I hear your point. Your point you're making is that the kneading itself isn't an Isser, and that's a good point. Practically, whether you can trust her to say we're not going to eat any of it whatsoever, chas v'shalom, we are just kneading it and then we're going to throw it out. That is an interesting question. But I just want to contrast that with the seifa here. I'm just trying to define the terms here. The seifa, what we're dealing with is some sort of tumah and tahara issue, which we'll get to in just a bit. Tumah and tahara, the Ritva says, is only a problem when you're actually metame the dough, right? So when you knead the dough, if at that point you aren't being metame it for whatever reason, that's not the problem. The problem is once there's water and it's now a mukshar lakala tumah, at that point you cannot participate because the avera is the tumah itself as opposed to the preparatory stages of preparing it for eating. Because again, the problem isn't the eating, it's the tumah and tahara. We'll get to why it's not a problem of eating. Okay. But that's our Mishnah. Our Mishnah discusses the notion of lending utensils to people who we suspect may potentially violate Yisurim and even potentially participating in the preparation of those Yisurim with them. And we have a distinction between the Reisha and the Seifa. In the first clause of the Mishnah, we deal with somebody who is Chashuda Shvius. You cannot participate in the kneading process. In the second clause of the Mishnah, you can even knead with them. The question is, what is the difference? And that brings us to the Gemara, which you see here back in source number one. My Shna Reisha, my Shna Seifa. Why in the first clause of the Mishnah can you even knead with this woman, whereas in the second clause you cannot? I got that backwards again, didn't I? Why in the first clause of the Mishnah can you not knead with this woman, whereas in the second clause of the Mishnah you are even allowed to knead with the woman who may be participating in an Avera? Two answers, says the Gemara. Amar Abaye, Rov, Ame Aretz Ma'asrin Hain. What is the answer? The answer is that what would the problem be in the Seifa? The problem you could have said in terms of eating, the eating problem would be that she hasn't separated Shumos and Maestros. It's Tevel. Well, we don't assume that Ame Haaretz are actually eating Tevel. Really, Maker, I think we can assume they're not eating Tevel. It's not Shumos. It doesn't require Hafrasas, Shumos, and Maestros at all. It's totally kosher. It's only a tuma problem. Whatever that tuma problem is. But it's a tuma problem. You can eat it. It's kosher. However, the Rabbanon came and they were choshesh that Ame Aretz do not separate Shemos and Maestros. That's Demai. That's a Derabbanon. And we allow you to do this Derabbanon. You know, before I get to the Gemara, let me just finish the Mishnah. I have to throw a stop in the middle. So I'm just to reference this. Going back to the Mishnah. So you're allowed to participate in certain ways. But you can't touch the dough. Going back to the source of the Mishnah, the why, Lefisha Emaziki Reavera, the Kulam Lo Amru Ela Mithne Darke Shalom. All of this in this Mishnah, all the things that we said, and as we referred to in the previous year, and this refers to this Mishnah specifically, not the other Mishnahs in Shvius, which allow certain dispensations to participate with people who don't keep Shvius. All of this in this Mishnah is allowed because of Darke Shalom, keeping the peace. And the Mishnah continues with something that we'll get to next week, Bezra Hashem. Machazikin yininachar b'shvias, avaloy yedei Yisrael. We support non-Jews during Shvias, but we don't support Jewish people during Shvias. What that means, we'll have to study next week. B'shalom b'shalomon, and we ask peace from them. We give them shalom. Again, who we're talking about here is also a question. Is it the Jew? Is it the non-Jew? That is a discussion in the Mefarshim, which we'll get to next week. Why? Mithne darche shalom. Because to keep, so that we can keep the peace. Okay. Now, back to the Gemara in source number one. The Gemara wants to know, again, what was the difference between the first and second clause in the Mishnah? Why in the first clause is it prohibited to participate in the kneading, whereas in the second clause it is permitted? Abaye said, darche shalom is not going to help you in the Reisha. Why? Because there, essentially, we're really worried that you are going to enable her to eat something that is usher. That is a bona fide chashash. It's a real concern. In the Seifa, we're not really concerned. We think she's eating kosher. She's separated from Shumos and Maestros. But the Rabbanon have a chashash, and the chashash is that she didn't separate from Shumos and Maestros. Therefore, they require you to separate from Shumos and Maestros. But for the Akshash, Darchi Shalom is enough that you can participate in meeting with her. Okay? That is Abaye's answer. And Rashi essentially explains this in source number 2. Continuing on, to Rava Amar, Rava says, Rava doesn't like Abaye's answer. He says, no, Hacha Bama Aretzer of Meir, Vetuma Tatara Derabanan. Right? We referred to the different Ame Aretzos, levels of Alma Aretz before, and Meir's Alma Aretz is someone who eats Hulin Betoma. Ooh, very ignorant that they aren't hesitant to eat Toma and eat Tame items. So that's what we're worried about. We're not worried about not kosher. We're worried about potentially making this Hulin Tame. Now, Rishon discussed maybe being Tame Chala. Is it being Matame Taharos? Not getting into that right now. It's a very complex discussion. But Rava essentially does not want to rely on Abaye's Rova Amil Aretz Ma'asrahim in this case. And therefore he says, no, that's not the issue. The issue is Tuma and Tahara. And why is that not the issue? Rashi comments again in source number 2. I'll just read Rava, Rashi number 2. La'olam kemetz ametzadami. No, I'm not going to assume that Amil Aretzos are Mafra Shuma Samasros, some do, some don't. Misafkinalu, but also the sign hole of Vader Isahi. You can't help someone if you really had a concern on Shuma Samasros. That would be an Avera Mizioraisa for you to participate, or at least for them to eat that Tavua, and therefore you can participate in that. Umasnizim bin Mosagla Asr Kamar. We're talking about a case where we know the person separates Shuma Samasros. That's not the issue. Vama Aratsar Mir, he shachoshalachal peros batama. It's a Tom of Atara issue. Okay, takeaway from this at this point is what the Rashba says in source number 4, which is essentially as follows. What does Darchi Shalom allow you to do in terms of participating with someone who may commit an Avera? Sounds like from the Gemara, it depends. Is the Avera at stake that they may commit a De'araisa or a De'rabanan? The reason that in the Resha we do not allow you to participate with them is because Shvius is the De'araisa, and you cannot participate even mifnei darkei shalom with them in an avera that will cause them to commit an avera midiraisa. However, midrabanan, if the only avera they will commit with your participation is derabanan, that's okay. And that's the Rashba says in source number 4. Resha v'seifa b'tama b'tahara. Klomar, zekulo masnisim b'shehushiru. The Gemara is talking about a case, the Mishnah is talking about a case where they are Mekabal Tama. That's why you can't grind with her. Elamei Darchei Shalom, only because of Darchei Shalom. Okay, the Rashba is saying that Avera Tzekir is causing the fruits of Eretz Yisrael to become Tame. The reason you're not supposed to really grind with her is because it is a Ninnun Avera. It's wrong. It's something that you shouldn't do to cause Peres Eretz Yisrael to become Tame. However, they allowed him in the Darkei Shalom. It's just a Ninnun Avera, and therefore you can do it to keep the peace. Mim. Kevon Delaika Ela Tuma Vatara B'Rabbanon. Mishum Darkei Shalom Hitziru. Since it's just Tuma Vatara B'Rabbanon, they waived it because of Darkei Shalom. Ava. Misha Tata Mayim Jika Tumas Chala. Once you add the water in, and now it's Chayim and Chala. Chala is the Oraisa. There's a Oraisa being Matam Chala. Lo tigad, lo itir, lo ki vishatora. Darkei Shalom will not allow you to be misayaya for an iser de oraisa. That is a simple conclusion of this Gemara. However, at this point, we would say, Darkei Shalom does give you a lot of iter. It allows you to participate in a process which could potentially lead to others violating iter abana. That would be the takeaway from this Mishnah. However, I'll just make one more note here, which is just interesting. Rashi, if you look at source number 2, is very particular about the way that he defines sayeya, misayeya. If you look at source number 2, the first line is, lo sifra lo sifri ma, misaya, misha asr, misayeya, b'yedai, midei, ovre avera, b'shafs avera. It is forbidden to assist others in violating averos at the time of the avera. Based on this, the Kesav Sofer in Yoredeya 83, Simate Gimel, argues that the Isser of Siyua Ledvar Avera only exists when you're participating at the time of the actual performance of an Avera. if you are participating before the Avera itself takes place, and it's not listening to you there, that is not a problem of Misayeya Yidei Orbi Avera. However, it's controversial. Why is it controversial? Because there's another Rashi, and then there's the context. If you look at Rashi, V'chulam lo Amru, Rashi explains all the things we allow in this Mishnah. Why do we allow them? Mimnei Darchei Shalom. What do we allow? Mimnei Darchei Shalom. Shetiru l'hash il kelam l'sayam below Shat Avera Atma Ella Mimnei Darchei Shalom. Says Rashi, when you lend utensils to the woman, or even need in the second clause of the Mishnah with her, that's only allowed because of Darchei Shalom, even though it's not B'shas HaAvera. Even though it's not, again, because you're lending of the utensil before she commits the Avera, that's only allowed in the Darchei Shalom. So you also have the opposite implication from Rashi. Furthermore, there's the other argument, which is the Ritva just told us. It's not B'shas HaAvera. It's not B'shas HaAvera because her kneading and grinding isn't an Avera. The Achila is the Avera. So the Ksav Sofer tries to argue that's B'shas HaAvera enough. It's a bit of a difficult argument. Though many poskim do take the Ksav Sofer Lalacha that if it's not B'shas HaAvera, it's not Misayeya. At least it's a sniff. Okay. There's a big problem with everything we just said. Because at this point, why is any of this okay? It is okay because of Darchei Shalom. That's the mission to say. What is the problem with that statement? The problem is all of the shirim that Rabbi Torchiner just gave. Not that those shirim are a problem, they're really wonderful, but what about Tzliya? Tzliya, we've just been talking about it for three shirim straight. The reason you can do these things is because you can assume that they're not actually going to do an Avera. They're going to use it. Maybe they're going to use it for another purpose. That was Yerushalmi. Maybe they're buying the utensils for another year. So what happened to Tzliya? So this problem is addressed by the Mepharshim. There are three general approaches. I hope to get to most of them today, if not all of them. And the takeaway will be whether Darchei Shalom in and of itself is sufficient to allow Misayeya, at least the Rabbanon. Is Darchei Shalom a sufficient heter without something else? That is the question at hand. We begin with the Gemara in source number 5, which also sort of introduces this question. Torchiner quoted this Gemara earlier. It's a whole long back and forth, but I brought you the first and last lines of the Gemara. Says the Gemara in source number 5, Rav Huna Zavanahi Paralabos Lovik Lachavin. Rav Huna sold a cow to an idolater. And that's a problem because the idolater may use that cow inappropriately. Amar Rechista. Rechista said to him, my time of Amarachi. Why did you do that? Amar Lai, Emel Eshchita Zavna. Ah, because he's not going to use it inappropriately. He's going to slaughter it. And that's totally okay. He's going to eat it. That's fine. Okay. Now the Gemara was a little back and forth. Is that really so? What about the cases in Mishnah and Shvius, which we read earlier? There are cases where you can sell certain kalim. Why don't we say a tliya? And the Gemara goes back and forth. It's about Shvius kalim versus Shvius mehento. I in the previous shiurim. And here is the conclusion. Ela Amar Ravashi kol hecha de ekala misle talina va'afagav de mitzuvah. Whenever we have a tliya, we can be tola. Even if you have a specific prohibition against having your utensils or your animal participate in that issue. If you don't have a tliya, lo tliya afagad the ina mitzuvah. Says the Gemara, why is it that he can sell the para? Because of a tliya. Wait, so if there's a tliya, why do you need Darchei Shalom in our Mishnah? Darchei Shalom sounds like really it's a problem, but we're afraid of, Ava and enmity and machlokas, so we allow you to do it. Say better than that. It's not a problem because we can assume that they're not going to do an isor with it. So why is the Mishnah mentioning Darchei Shalom at all? That is the problem. And furthermore, as some of the Rishon will say, what is the Eva with selling this para to an Olegochavim? And is there really Eva there? We'll have to see. It sounds like it's nothing to do with Darchei Shalom. It's simply because you're allowed to assume they're not going to use it for an Avera. So what? How do we reconcile these various sources? This brings us to Rabbeinu Tam in source number 6. Rabbeinu Tam is going to keep our havamina here, keep our assumption. Yes, Darchei Shalom is a sufficient independent heter. However, not all cases actually had Darchei Shalom, and that's the solution to our problem. Says Rabbeinu Tam in Sefer Yashar Siman Kuf Aleph, source number 6. He quotes the Mishnah, Mashal, Tish, Chaverta, Shua, Shvias, Nafak, Farah, Chaim, Tzor, Minne, Dark, Shalom, Vikasha, if you're going to ask, Vichy, Minne, Dark, Shalom, Isa, Nafilu, Hechad, Laga, Dark, Shalom, Mutter, the Cholecha, the Ikum, Mustak, Tilinon. Is it really because of Dark, Shalom that you're allowed to lend out these utensils? I thought even without Dark, Shalom, it's permissible because we have a Tlia. Kahid, Parak, Rishon, Navoda, Zara, Layim, Cholo, Parach, Rashas, Mishvias, Vesil, Matirin, Vesil allows you to sell a cow, which plows during Shemitah. Why? Because it's a case, the Gemara says, that you have a tliya. We're talking about someone who we suspect will do an Avera. He's going to shet it. He's not going to plow with it. I'm not sure what the talking chepetz is. Coming here, you're going to fix your object with a cow. The point is, it's a tliya. Not because Darchi Shalom. So what's going on? Im Tomar Hacha B'She'ino El Davar Isur Askinon. Oh, okay. So I'll tell you why. There's no tliya in our case. Simple, Rabbi Tom says. There's no tliya. Why? We know that the produce at hand is certainly usher. It's shvias. We know that's the case. If it wasn't a selling shvias, you're right. We could be tola. But the case is, we know it is a davar usher that is at stake here. Bafilu Mishnah Darchi Shalom Amay Mashalas. So if that's so, why are you allowed to lend out these utensils, though? Why is Darchei Shalom sufficient, says Rabbi Tam? I have a problem. Vatanya elu dvarim she'im mokulim hem mishvias. Ha'ol va mizrim macharei shavadeker. We have an earlier Mishnah which says you can't sell certain utensils. So if you can't sell them, what about Darchei Shalom? I thought Darchei Shalom sufficient. If Darchei Shalom sufficient in the case of She'ila, of lending out the utensils to need, why isn't it sufficient in terms of selling the utensils? I don't get it. Apparently, if you don't need a tliya, Darchei Shalom is sufficient. Why can't you sell the utensils which would be used for an avera? Answers are being Tom, Omer Rebbe, La'olam k'she'en la'el davar aser. We're talking about a case where all you have is aser tfua. Dilek l'mislein t'er k'mayin. There's no tliya. Utika amrit amay mashal salo b'shvias aser l'mhor. What's the difference between selling and mending out utensils? Omer Rebbe d'mechira leka mishom Darchei Shalom. There's no problem of Darchei Shalom or with selling. No, that's not going to cause any issues in the community or disrupt the peace by refusing to sell someone a utensil which could be used for an avera. Came into Eino Bechinam. It's not free. You got me para my Darchei Shalom maker. What Darchei Shalom is there with selling someone a cow? And he says this is how you have to solve all these problems. This is the answer to all your problems, all the Gemaras ever, that if you have a contradiction, simply say, one is a case where it's free, one is a case where it's not free, and it's only Darchei Shalom if it would be free. That is Rabbeinu Tam's answer. So, to analyze Rabbeinu Tam for just a second, Rabbeinu Tam is telling us that you don't need a tzliya at all. Darchei Shalom is a sufficient heter so long as it exists. In a case of mechira, when you're selling someone a utensil for a profit, there's no Darchei Shalom issue because, look, they have to pay for it anyway. Now, there are a number of issues to Rabbeinu Tam, but what I want to focus on is the fundamental one. Why is Darchei Shalom sufficient? Really, simply to keep the peace will allow you to potentially violate an iser? So you could say, yes, maybe sometimes we really like Shalom, but the Chazon Ish, and I think this is very, he's not pinned down to his for Yashar Shita, but I think the Chazon Ish's comments here helps to explain it even more, which is that this is not a question of choosing Shalom and instead violating with the either. There's no clue, it's not that either you're going to violate a Navera or you won't violate a Navera and you'll disrupt the peace. No. Disrupting the peace is also a form of lithna iver / misayaya. Because when you tell someone who is not observant, no, I do not want to sell you this utensil or lend it to you. Why? Because I think you're going to do an avera with it. That also will cause them to violate various isurim, like and all sorts of nikimanati and all sorts of other isurim, revenge and bearing a grudge. And those are also isurim which you will cause them to violate by you refusing to lend out the utensil. Therefore, says the Chazon Ish, Chazal came and decided when we say Darchei Shalom and pick that option and avoid being machshil the person in those Yisurim versus when we say, no, Darkei Shalom is not sufficient. We have to avoid enabling them to do an Isser. And the cut-up point is Vadai versus Safek. Take a look at Chaz Mishnah, source number 7. Venira. Make the big assumption here, which we'll reject in, if we get to it today or maybe next week. Even though certainly Safek Livni Iver is Livni Iver, you cannot give someone a Safek Michshol. So why were the Chachamim Matir Midarche Shalom? If we're Machmir, that would also be Livni Iver. You will withhold ourselves from performing acts of kindness and life-giving acts and peace from ourselves and from them. We have to take care of the Amei Aretz. We have to make sure that they have a livelihood and to be good to them. Certainly we shouldn't bring about additional hatred and enmity between us. But overall, this is not. They're going to violate all sorts of Yisurim if we bring about Machlokas. Which are no less stringent than the Isur of whatever we're trying to save them from. It's a suffix. Then we'll pick the Darkei Shalom route and avoid the risk of Sina and Machlokas. If it's a Vadai, then Chazal dictated that. Then we take the, we say, look, we just can't participate in a Vadai. So I think that perspective helps for me to come. It's not just that we're saying you can violate Mislayeya slash in the Iver because Darkei Shalom, it's that if you decide not to do Darkei Shalom, you'll also violate Mislayeya slash today slash in the Iver. Okay. However, there are two big problems with Rabbeinu Tam. The first is, I think, the most obvious, which is, why would you say, as we'll see, that there was no Darkei Shalom in the case of Mechira, right? It seems to me, it's certainly based on the news cycle that we consistently experience, that when you refuse to sell someone a service, provide a service because of a religious reason that you do not believe in, that often does create all sorts of angst and anger and machlokas. And the Mepharshim say there's no greater even than saying, no, I'm going to sell it to everybody else but you. Why is it that they're going to pay for it, remove Darkei Shalom? There's still plenty of Darkei Shalom in that case as well. Number one. Number two is the problem of the Rosh in source number 8. It says the Rosh. I'll read a time. It goes to read a time. The last lay, Ella, Perosh, Shvius. Here we know all they have is Perosh, Shvius. Hook up. Yilam Mehne Darkei Shalom, Aser. Okay. The Kosh to the Perusha. Wait a minute. Beit Tam is saying that this is a case where there's absolutely no tliya. We know they're going to violate an Isser, and it's mother in the Darkei Shalom. What did the Gemara ask? The Gemara asks, wait, why in the ratio of the Mishnah do we assume that it's not okay to help them need? But in the Seifa, when we deal with Tumah and Tahara, you can help the Eishes HaMa'aretz need. What kind of question is that? It's absurd. In the Risha, we know that they are dealing with Shvius. They are dealing with something that is usher for them to eat. So that's why you can't participate with them. In the Seifa, it's a shash, it's a something. It's an obvious answer. So that's another issue with Rabbeinu Tam. So Rosh says, well, maybe it's not that we know that Shvius, but we are just saying that we're Achmar Rabbanan, look at the bold there, but Tfuas HaChashudim. Rabbanan are strict regarding a Chashud Tfua. We assume it's usher. Not that we know it's usher, we assume it's usher, and then it's comparable to assuming it's usher for Shvius or assuming it's usher for Chumos and Maestros. However, based on these two notions, we'll briefly introduce another Shita, and that is the Shita of the Chachmei Sfaran, who are the exact opposite of Rabbeinu Tam. I'm proud of this pun. Rather, Hakol Toloi Betlia. Everything depends on the Tlia. That Darkei Shalom is not a sufficient heter in and of itself, ever. It's never because of Darkei Shalom. It's all because of Tlia. That is what the Chachmei Sfarad say in this case. And they reject, why then does this Mishnah quote Darkei Shalom, but this will end? Says the Rabban. Take a look at the fourth line of the Rabban in source number 9, Elahasam. Elahasam ikla misla, who? The Amrit imkei lamli v'Darkei Shalom. If so, why do I need Darkei Shalom? If you have a Tliya, why is the Mishnah mentioned Darkei Shalom? If we so says the Ramban law, since by lending out the utensils, the person doesn't receive any sort of benefit, I would have thought, what's the case here? Someone comes over to you and asks to borrow your utensil to use potentially for an avira. If you say no, what do you lose out? Nothing. In terms of, aside from the Darkei Shalom aspect, nothing. You wouldn't have gotten anything from it anyway. Simply altruistic. So to do that act of lending someone an object when there's no Darkei Shalom considerations, which would then get you into a situation which would be a suffix isser, why are we even bothering? Just don't lend it to them. Simple as that. However, in the case of Mechira, when you get something from it, it's not so simple to say, don't sell it to them. Because I want to sell it to them. Because I want to gain a profit. And therefore, in Mechira specifically, the Tliya is sufficient. Whereas in the case of She'ela, the Rabban flips it on the Rebbe Tam. She'ela, there is a Tliya in both. But in She'ela, Tliya isn't sufficient. You need Darkei Shalom to justify lending it to the Am Haaretz / Chashod to begin with. It's only because of Darkei Shalom that you can get yourself into this situation, since you don't derive any benefit from the transaction. Okay, so when we pick up next time, I'd like to analyze this sheet a bit further. What is really the difference between Mechira and She'ela? Why do we care whether I get benefit out of a transaction? Why should that be the determining factor? And we'll quote another sheet in this regard as well. And hopefully we'll also bring practical cases of Darkei Shalom. And then another topic, which is getting into the second half of the Mishnah. When can you encourage verbally someone who is in the process of violating an Avera? And when do you have to say, no, I can't even talk to them? So we'll pick up next time. Thank you very much. And have a wonderful job.